Our first reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is written to a community that has lost its way on a spiritual journey. The purpose of signs like tongues or prophecy or knowledge is to help a community along on its spiritual journey. And the goal of that spiritual journey is, in a word, love. That's exactly the kind of thing that Jack Gorsuch likes to talk about. Encountering the love of God is at the center of Jack's book, An Invitation to the Spiritual Journey. And the section that Connor read for us today is from what is to me the most important chapter of that book. The chapter is called Coming to God as We Are. It begins by saying, if we do not live out of our own center, we live out of something or someone else's center. If we try to live out of anything less than ourselves, we can't get far in the spiritual life, because we pass before the face of the Divine One like strangers. We bring nothing for God to love, and there is nothing authentic present for transformation. If we are unwilling to reveal ourselves as we are to God, or even to ourselves, we remain hollow. This haunts me. Maybe it speaks to you as well. Jack is challenging me right where I am ripe for growth. The spiritual journey is one that requires the veneer to come off. The spiritual journey makes status irrelevant and striving unimportant. The spiritual journey requires that we cast aside our polite prevarications and begin to figure out who it is that we really are. Because only then do we become alive to the possibility of transformation. And that is good news, says Jack. The spiritual journey will not begin someday when we finally figure our lives out. The spiritual journey doesn't depend on us meeting a certain standard of thought or even behavior. The spiritual journey lies precisely in our capacity to bring who we are here and now before God, to be loved by God. As we have heard this morning, Jack Gorsuch has a long, deep history at Epiphany and the Diocese of Olympia. He served this parish for 19 years, a calm and steady presence during times of intense change. As Mike mentioned, Jack nearly became the bishop of this diocese, it taking 8 ballots to decide between the 2 candidates. But ultimately, Jack decided that God was calling him elsewhere, to more interior pursuits. I knew Jack Gorsuch only briefly during his last few years in Bellingham. We would meet for lunch at the Asian Bistro near his house, and every conversation with Jack was an invitation to the spiritual journey. Doubt was met with confidence in the God who holds our doubts and our joys in love. Resentments and frustrations, both mine and his, were met with calm acceptance. One of the most memorable things that Jack said to me was, "Yes, God's a real stinker sometimes." Are those the words that you want to be remembered for at your memorial service? That was Jack. That was authenticity. That was trust in a God who invites us to speak the truth as we see it. God is indeed the one who meets us where we are. God is the one who can handle our upsets, rejoice in our happiness, and love us in our unbelief. God invites us to tell the truth as we see it, whether or not what we're saying is fair or even particularly pious. The truth as we see it is our experience. It is our genuine offering of self before God. And God asks of us nothing more or less than that. Jack and Bev loved their life in Bellingham and their proximity to Anne in Vancouver. They began making plans to move to Seattle, but Bev had a stroke that upended their lives. Jack quickly regrouped and with amazing agility made new plans. And so even as he mourned the loss of his home and his sporty VW, and the opportunity to live near friends in Seattle, Jack was clear about his priorities. He adored his wife and daughters. Jack was going to take care of Bev and be near his girls. After Jack and Bev moved away from Bellingham and began putting together their new life in Milwaukee, Jack and I would email from time to time. In every message, I saw clearly that Jack's love for Bev remained steadfast and deep, even as he struggled with the grief of losing her to Alzheimer's. He spoke of a depth and an essence that remained in Bev, even as her biology betrayed her. He spoke of her awareness of decline, and her frustration. Her body was present, but her mind was clouded, and yet Jack insisted the true Bev was still there, deep inside. Jack embraced his own weakness and despair. These are part of the journey. Jack embraced the struggles of his beloved Bev. These are part of the journey. In all these things, Jack rested in a deeper reality of goodness and love, the reality that the church likes to refer to as God. Now Jack has joined that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us in the faith. Jack no longer sees only as in a mirror dimly. He no longer knows only in part. Jack has passed beyond such limiting questions as where and how. Bev remains in Milwaukee, struggling with dementia. Who knows? Perhaps in her essence, Bev is already peeking over the threshold into that next reality as she loses her connection with this one. As I think about Bev and Jack and our Christian hope, I wonder if the two of them perhaps even already enjoy a closer fellowship now than before. Because even as prophecies cease and tongues fade away, as bodies die and minds darken, three things remain: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. For each of us, a spiritual journey is underway. The invitation to which Jack pointed still stands. We are invited to pursue love, to shower our affection upon one another, and to honor those who suffer among us. Like Jack, we are invited to place our trust in the sure unshakable, and eternal love of God.